I would like to talk to you this afternoon about a message the Lord's quickened to my heart. It's called Courage and Obedience, the Lesson of the Donkey. Courage and Obedience, the Lesson of the Donkey. And if you would just turn with me, please, to Luke 19. And if you have a marker, also John chapter 12. So Luke 19 and John chapter 12. These verses in the book of Luke and the book of John both talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on the week of his death. So Luke 19 and John 12. I'll pray. Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for every part of it, Lord. We thank you for how in song, Lord, that we have been stirred. Now, Lord, we ask you to just come upon your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lift up Jesus, that we would see him, Lord, and experience him in our heart as you, Holy Spirit, want to reveal him in these passages. I thank you for everyone in this place. Let an anointing rest upon us to hear you, Lord. And we thank you. We do not take it as a light thing that the God of this universe speaks to us. And we thank you for that in your precious name. Amen and amen. Actually, the four Gospels all speak about the same story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The interesting thing is when you read the four of them, and we're going to read two of the four, is that they seem to spend a lot of time talking about the donkey, about the colt, about the ass, about, in different translations, it's a different word used. And I know that there is an incredible story to tell just on the reading of these passages about Jesus on the week of his crucifixion, of him coming into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And there's something very moving about that story. But I felt like the Lord saying, there is something I want to speak to you about a donkey. But in order to get there, I just want to string a few thoughts before we get to what I think the Lord is saying through the story about the donkey. And in Luke 19, verses starting 28, here's the story according to Luke. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt, tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, this is the last week in the life of Jesus that will end in crucifixion. And I believe that it would, in the flesh, in Jesus' flesh, it would have been a week that his flesh fought him hard. For Jesus chose, even though he was fully God, God the Son, he chose to become flesh and blood, just like we are. And in the choosing of that, he would experience what our flesh and blood does when it doesn't want to go place or do things. And it was a week I believe his flesh did not want to face. And I believe that we know we can experience things like that, where it seems like the Spirit of God wants to take us to a place where our flesh does not want to go. And we know that it is the Spirit of God. And Jesus understands the battles sometimes that we encounter. And I find that this story is so encouraging for those that find themselves having to call out to Christ, to God, that says, Lord, if I can only go there if you take me there. And you feel like that you're in a place, you know, almost like a crossroads. In one of the other, of whether you will obey or not obey. And in one of the other Gospels, it talks about the colt was found in a place where two roads meet. And that is like many believers. And when there is a season, it's an unusual time in your life. And God has been speaking to you about something. And obedience is really the only thing that's going to satisfy what God is asking us to do. And here is a week that, you know, Jesus is facing what every believer will face when there is a crossing of the path between the will of God and the will of our flesh. And Jesus, this story tells us about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's Jesus setting his face to go to a place that will end in his death and crucifixion, the cross. And he set his face to go there to complete that which had been started, as Jesus always does. He completes, he finishes what he starts. The scripture says that Jesus once told his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's my meat, to do his will, the will of my Father, and to finish his work. And Jesus is a finisher. And the scripture says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And that is Christ, fully God, fully human. And when he set his face to go to Jerusalem, we know that even though what awaited his flesh, it did not detour. And he came in to this city riding on a donkey. And when he did so, it's like the whole place burst into praise. And it was like this spirit, a heavenly spirit of rejoicing settled on the multitude. And the disciples and the multitude, I don't even know why they maybe knew why they did, but the scripture says they began to take off their cloaks and to lay it in front so that the donkey's feet wouldn't even touch the earth. And that they would take straw and they would take these branches, these palm branches, and they would lay it down so that there was like this golden path to walk upon. And it's like a jubilation hit the people. And of course, there was so much here, but it's like Christ's obedience is sending shockwaves through the heavenlies that are traveling from the earth to heaven. And it's like this incredible joy and rejoicing breaks out that even human flesh participates in at that moment. Such a spirit of rejoicing and joy. And we read it, you know, the Pharisees, those that are not a partaker now of this moment in their spirit, they say, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus says, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. There was such a sense of heaven descending upon earth when Jesus set his face to obey his Father and to finish the work. And sometimes I wonder, you know, in this place where all of a sudden we don't really understand it, but like it's like the heavens are rent, they're opened up, and a spirit of rejoicing enters this place. And all of a sudden, no matter how we came into this place, it's like we become quickened and we start rejoicing. And I'm wondering if it is because in this sanctuary is because someone in our midst has said yes to God. In such a real way. It's not a yes of the moment. It's a yes like Jesus said, and they will complete it. They're going to trust Christ to obey, of course, but they've put their life and that yes together. And it's like where the rest of us, everyone else is just, and they're saying yes to do the will of God in their life. It's like the rest of us just catch the overflow. I wonder if sometimes that liberty here is because something so amazing is happening right in our midst. And Jesus set his face to do the will of his Father, forever linking, I feel, obedience with an outbreak of joy in the heart. And in John 12, we can see actually the timeline of when Jesus entered in to Jerusalem, what was happening right when he entered. And it says in John 12:12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And verse 17, and the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. So Jesus, he came into Jerusalem the very day after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And this astounding miracle that they know could only come from the hand of God, all of a sudden there's a groundswell. It's like, I know we've been calling this man prophet, and I know we have seen him open the eyes of the blind and the lame walk, but I tell you something, he raised a man from the dead. And the groundswell and the buzz that would have just traveled right through Galilee, south to Jerusalem, all over, wherever, it would be, he has raised the dead. He has raised the dead. And it's like people came out of nowhere the very next, on the next day, the feast day, they flooded Jerusalem to see this man that could raise the dead. And it says, and these are the people that took the branches in verse 13, and they were the ones who were crying now, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, because he had called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, and many that were there bear record of it. They wasn't hearsay. They had seen it for themselves. And there, all of a sudden now, it's the people are starting to do him homage. They're starting to recognize something of this man that they know is not anything to do with the spirit of man. And I feel like the people's eyes were beginning to like open, and that those that were in the crowd, that truly when they started to shout Hosanna, it was like a hope and a almost like an unbelief, but a belief growing in them that God was among them, God with us. And that this man on a donkey who could raise the dead, that they just had to begin to pay him homage and do him honor as a king. And that's why the Pharisees were so rattled, because it wasn't just the people were rejoicing, but there was a groundswell in the hearts of God's people at that time that this man was something so much more. And this triumphal entry, it is like, If Jesus' flesh on one hand would be fighting him to enter that city in the first place, now you could see almost as the people's eyes were beginning to open and they were beginning to truly recognize who he was, the flesh now would begin to enjoy, oh, now you are beginning to see who I am. And beloved, there would be a battle that would happen to all of us who are flesh and blood, and whom the Spirit of God resides. It's like when we are setting out on a path, the enemy can oppose us because our flesh doesn't want to go there. Or the enemy can oppose us where all of a sudden we're getting the praise of men and it's beginning to feed something as we're starting to do and carry out the will of God in our lives. And I could just feel that the flesh is saying, this is good enough. You don't have to go all the way to a cross. You see, the people are rejoicing in this miracle, because another man was raised from the dead, and they're rejoicing in God. You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. Another man has been raised from the dead, and it's painless to you. And they're starting to get it because the dead are being raised. And you don't have to go all the way to the cross. The people are getting it. And they're excited that another man is raised from the dead. And it's a painless way for you. And I thank God that Jesus did not listen to that. But he went all the way to that cross because he wasn't going to be satisfied with what was happening among the people, because you see, that wasn't true faith that was being established in their heart, a faith that is him. It wasn't going to be an acceptance of Christ into their life and all the powers of darkness being broken in the life of a human being that accepts Christ. It was going to be people who could rejoice in the miracles of God and in the goodness of God, but could still the very next day still be in bondage to the will of the devil and to the will of themselves. And that wasn't good enough for Christ, because he loves us. And he knew that the will of his Father is that he had to go to a cross, that you and I could be free, that you and I could have the power of the bondage of the will of our enemy broken over us. And those that are in Christ have that happen. And the scripture says that Jesus was a partaker of flesh and blood, just like we are, and that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That Jesus willingly would not stop at a triumphal entry where people seemed to get who he was and what he was doing. He wouldn't stop there. Even though I feel like his flesh was battling him to complete and finish the will of God for his life. Just like we will have to battle one way or the other through the praise of men or through a place where our flesh doesn't want to go. But when Jesus led the way and did that first, is when he partook of death and wouldn't just be contented a triumphal entry. No, he went all the way through the week. He went all the way to the cross. He through death destroyed him that had the power of death over our lives. The devil was destroyed at the cross. The devil was destroyed. It was forever decreed, because Christ partook, tasted death for us, that the enemy would be defeated and every life that would come to Christ. And ultimately, at the end of the age, the devil is ultimately defeated, thrown into a lake of fire with all the demons and everything that tormented humanity. He was forever destroyed by the cross, and now he's just a liar. Now he's just a deceiver of the brethren. I thank God that Jesus didn't stop. And beloved, we will have weeks when our flesh will fight very hard, when we are starting to enter the ground where the will of God, something that God is saying, I need from you obedience in this matter. I need your obedience. Because beloved, some battles must be won. As Christians, some must be won, and it is crucial that you and I, when it's a contest, not a contest, but where the will of God crosses our will for the glory of God, that beloved, we become followers of God, not just speakers about God. There comes a point we have to follow him. We have to follow him and not just speak about him. Now, I said all that to talk about the story of the donkey. You see, Jesus came riding on a donkey, on a foal, a colt. And the Lord kept saying in Luke that he had need of them. He had need of this donkey. I know a little bit about donkeys. I lived on a farm. We had a farm for 12 years, and we did have donkeys. I can tell you firsthand that a donkey is stubborn. It is spiteful. It is untrustworthy. It is a biting beast. And it lacks grace. I've watched them bite my son. I've watched them attack my daughter. I know about donkeys. I think secretly they always wish they were a horse and never were. And they really, really are stubborn. And they are spiteful. They remember everything you do or don't do. They are untrustworthy. And I want us to see, Jesus came riding on a donkey, and I feel that a picture, this donkey is a picture of the human will that's dominated by flesh. The donkey is the picture of the human will that's dominated by flesh. And Jesus rode that animal, sat atop it, took the reins, and led it into Jerusalem where it didn't want to go. And what a picture. What a picture. Because that's a picture. When Christ comes into our heart, when Christ comes into our life, he does the exact same thing with our stubborn, spiteful, untrusting, lack of grace will, dominated by flesh. And as Jesus surely rode that animal, so he does when we ask him. That's the picture of him, what he does for this stubborn flesh of ours and will. He rides it, sits atop of it, takes the reins, and leads it where it doesn't want to go. And you know, there's something so moving about the picture, isn't it? About the master of the universe riding into a major city on a donkey. There's something so amazing about that picture. It speaks about such a lowliness of mind. And you know, when Jesus takes over and we ask him, Lord, you know, and I know that obedience, for me to be obedient, for you to be obedient concerning the will of God in our lives, the only way it does happen is if we invite a very gracious and humble Christ to come. And in the same way as he did the donkey, so do for us. And lead us into a place of obedience that we would never go without him for a very important reason. Jesus mastered that donkey totally in an unforgettable picture. And that is what he will do for us. When it comes to him asking us to do certain things, when he comes knocking at the door of our heart and we know like we know that he's asking for us to obey him, for it is the will of God. And our ability to obey the will of the Father is only found in Christ, who says it's my meat and drink to do the will of him and to finish his work. So too, we will be given when we invite Christ in a place where we need to obey and we have a very stubborn and reluctant flesh. Even though our spirits could be willing and in our mind we know we must say yes. Christ says, I've come to you in the same way as I entered Jerusalem. I'm not just happy that you can rejoice that other men are raised from the dead. I want to raise you from the dead. I want to move you into the life I died to give you. I want to move you into a place where if you would obey me, your life will never be the same. I don't want you to run in fear and away from what obedience means because you feel that you could never do it. Beloved, we can't do it. That donkey would not go to Jerusalem unless Jesus rode it there. But Jesus did ride it there. You know, obedience to the will of God often starts with a lowliness of mind. Just like how donkeys kind of that whole scene represents. It starts with a lowliness of mind that says, Lord, I fight this, but I know you're in it, and it's you asking me. And it takes a lowliness of mind and the ability to say, I'm such a fearful little donkey. Unable to obey you. Remember the picture of Jesus on that donkey mastering it. And then the picture of Jesus on a donkey and the lowliness and that sense of humility that Jesus has. He doesn't come in breaking down the door, forcing us at gunpoint, rough handling us. No, it's a very different picture. Jesus says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I know how to give rest to your souls, because disobedience and running away from my will is a very heavy and exhausting thing. But I come to those who are willing to say, Lord, I know you are asking me of something, and you need obedience in this situation. So I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in my weakness, and I'm asking you, Lord. And the whole city was moved, it says in Matthew's account, when Jesus came in riding on a donkey. Beloved, there's times for us to have victory over disobedience. In other words, to move to the place where, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing even to obey you. There are times when that's the situation in our lives, that the victory at that time depends on our pride not riding high. But our victory depends on our approach in Christ is like what he did when riding a donkey in a very low place. He knows our struggle and our pain and our confusion. He knows the struggle with the proud, stubborn will and the untrustworthiness of our words saying, oh God, you know, I fully intend to do this and I will do this. But unless the Lord rides this will of ours, we're not going to go to a place where our flesh does not want to go. But the end result is when we invite Christ in, you know, there's a scripture that says in Hebrews that Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O God. And we're going to find that we can say, Lord, visit me in my stubbornness and in my fear of not being able to do it. Come, Lord. And I know you're speaking to me about obedience. I know you are asking me to obey you on this point that I have run from so many times. But I've got that picture now of your triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, riding, as it were, my stubborn will and taking me to the place, Lord Jesus, in a lowly spirit, to the place I need to go. And all of a sudden, the praise bursts out because I'm going to learn at that moment, I'm going to delight to do your will. That which was abhorrent to me, that which I didn't feel I could do, when I invite you in to take the reins, at this moment, you lead me into triumph. You lead me into joy. You lead me into a place where I delight to do thy will, even to a cross. Even to a cross. Even to move away from the praise of men. Even to be moved away by being guided by the praise of men, because that's what Christ was doing when he did not just stop at their praises. Even where we can be moved away from the praise of men so that we can truly do good for men. Because that's always what happens when we say, Lord, I will obey you. I really believe the course of my life was set many years ago, when my will and the Lord's will for my life crossed. And I would have thought, having been a Christian for some time, that if I knew that God's will and I had a will, of course they would join up in a seamless pattern and head off in the same direction. Till I found out what a little donkey I was. But I know that the course of my life was set when it became very clear to me what God's will was for my life. And in a hidden day, a day nobody saw, a day no, in a moment nobody was around, I went to my knees in that struggle and battle of my will versus God's will. And I said, Lord, that I may find you here. In a place I don't want to be, may I find you here. In a place and a direction I don't want to go, may I find you here. And someone gave me a book, and it was called A Chance to Die, about a missionary, Amy Carmichael. And she said something. She said, when our will and God's will path, at that moment, see in it a chance to die. See in it a chance that your will could die and God's will live. And sometimes, beloved, that struggle is no less than that. I'm not being melodramatic. I'm just telling you, if you've not known the depth of the struggle, maybe it's because your will hasn't been crossed yet. And it set, I believe, the whole course of my life. Not that I was some, brave person. I was very honest in my struggle, but I knew that God was asking something of me that I didn't want to do and didn't want to go, but I still knew it was God asking me. And so, in the absolute truth of the moment, I did what only I could do, was go down on my knees. And God showed up. He showed up. And it wasn't just a one-time thing, of like, I delight to do thy will. That didn't come for many days hence. But what did happen was every day there was a chance to die. Every day there was, oh God, visit me now, help me. I'm on a path down. It feels like I'm dying inside. So I'm just going to ask you at this moment, help me. And little by little, moment by moment, the Lord, step by step, would never fail me, and he would come in the sweetest of ways. And little by little, I got to the point where I didn't even realize when I'd really passed from death to life. It's just I knew the struggle had ended, and I was delighting to do the will of God for my life. And I know, beloved, that that's the same. For every Christian, there comes a point that there is an issue and there is a time. God says, nothing but obedience will do. You must obey me to be a follower of me. You must follow me in a place that you don't want to go, to do things that you don't want to do. And I thank God that, it may not have seemed like on the outward, if I told you what the struggle was, you would not, because I'll tell you why. The flesh is very deceptive, but God knows where the crossroads lay. God knows what the issue is that will truly highlight when it's our will visit versus his will. And where God comes and does that, I tell you, that he will show up like he did that time at Jerusalem. Able to ride that donkey and able to take us right to the very center and core of the will of God. And he who starts that work, he will be faithful to finish it in us. And I'll tell you something, even though we're made of clay, we are also made for the glory of God. And what he has intended for you and what he has intended for me does not so much rest on our faithfulness, but on a God who says, I'm the author of your faith. I've started this story, and I alone know the triumphant conclusion I can put to it. If you will trust me and if you will believe me, I will take your life on a course you could not even begin to imagine. I could not have begun to imagine the plan God had for me or my family when I bent my knee in the middle of the wilderness in a place in Canada you've never even heard of. But I tell you the very same for you. The plan that God has, but it starts, beloved, in something he's speaking to you. Many people in this place, he has been specifically speaking to you about something. And he says, you must obey me in this. You must obey me in this. And I will be the power to obey. And I will be everything. If you invite me in, I tell you, I know how to ride that donkey right through to a triumphal entry. And I know how to take it right through to where the finish is, where the power is, where the glory is, where the death that turns to life is. And beloved, that's the testimony. If Christ is in you, that's where his spirit is urging you and I how to live our life and how to finish our course on that triumphal note. That wasn't the first day. It was the last day where Christ was able to do the will of his Father and finish it. You and I are going to be able to do the will of God and to have his will finished in our life for the glory of God. But we need to take this seriously because the hour is dark and it is short, and Christ is looking for followers of him and not speakers about him, because there's a big difference. Hallelujah. Fellowship with Christ, riding our will, that donkey, into the most difficult places is the privilege of every believer. But who will follow him there? Who will invite him in? Who will say, Lord, this obedience that I've been so afraid of you talking to me about because I felt like I couldn't do it. No, we can't do it. A donkey left by itself will not go there. It'll take the other path. But Jesus said, I have need of that donkey. I have need of your will. I have need of you. I have need of you. And I know how to take you to a place your flesh does not want to go for the glory of God, and you will never be the same. Beloved, do not fear about whether you or I will be disobedient. We will be when we give Christ the reins, and he will take us and finish the plan for our life in a greater triumph than you or I could ever, ever imagine. But on some issues, whether we obey or not, is very critical to our whole lives. Not all obediences are the same. Some are very critical. And the Lord give us understanding and grace concerning this, that when you and I find ourselves in that time, we will remember the donkey and we will remember the courage and the power to obey, how he speaks to us through that story. Will you stand with me? Now, this is not meant to be a large-scale altar call. But some of you, the Lord is speaking that about the mission field. There's some, you don't understand it, but you know like you know. Today was the message for you. And just as the musicians play, that are those that are saying, Lord, I'm just even at the point where I'm just willing to be made willing. Or, Lord, I know you're speaking to me about this, and I'm taking it seriously. And I'm not running away in fear now. I'm just going to open myself up. And what you're asking me, this point of obedience, Lord, you've put hope and courage into me because you're my power to obey you. I thank you for the joy that awaits me. As the musicians come and those the Lord is speaking, will you just come to this altar? And the Lord is going to meet us in a very tender and special way. The Holy Spirit whispered something to my heart for you that came to the altar. The scripture in Luke, it says that the Lord gives the Holy Ghost to those who obey him. The Lord gives the Holy Ghost to those who obey him. And you will not lack the Spirit of God. You will not lack the Holy Spirit. And those that now are standing here, I want you just to raise your hands. Lord, I just thank you. I take you on your word that, Lord, you say you give the Holy Ghost to those that obey you. I thank you now, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, you would come upon these ones, Lord, that have responded to what it is that you are speaking to their heart with the mighty promise that the Holy Spirit will fill them. The Holy Spirit will be the power. The Holy Spirit, you, oh God, the third person of the Holy of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, you will come. You will be their portion. You will go before them and behind them. You will be their power. You will fill them. They will not lack anything. Oh God, you will be their courage to obey. Lord, you will be their joy to obey. Holy Spirit, you will give them supernatural power, Lord, to walk the path, to be a follower of you, to fulfill the will of God on their lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, you will be sent without measure. Holy Spirit, come now and fill every willing vessel, Lord, in this place. I thank you, Lord, you give the Holy Spirit to those that obey you. I thank you when we step out in faith to obey, Lord, you come in behind and fill and overtake us. Now, Lord, we will never be alone in this. And I thank you, you will finish the work that you are starting, that we will be known as obedient servants of the Most High God, and that His will be done in our lives, and His will be done on the earth, because, Lord, we are saying yes to what it is you are asking. I thank you, Lord, that you many here, Lord, will know the joy and the rejoicing of the release, oh God, in putting their lives behind their yes. And I thank you, Lord, you will carry them with a supernatural power. You will carry them with the power of the Holy Spirit that you give liberally to those who obey you. I thank you, Lord, they will be set apart, a people set apart by the joy that will overtake them in the journey, Lord, and the peace that passes understanding, Lord, in the face of all opposition, in the face of an unruly flesh, Lord, or the praise of men trying to take them off the path of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, you will keep to the end. You will keep to the end, and you will bring them to a glorious finish. That plan which you've started for their lives, oh God, you will be faithful to complete it for the glory of God. Thank you now for this filling upon them and power such as they've never known, with peace and joy. We thank you for that. Now, if you've received this prayer and blessing, Lord, you just begin to praise Him and thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.